said, son, there'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Good morning, good evening, Deep Thought listeners. As you can tell today, we're going to be talking about gun control and what Americans affectionately know as the Second Amendment. At least some of the kids do. Now, I'm going to try to come at this from a couple different angles here. Because there are Americans who are scared of guns, and there are Europeans that are scared of guns. There are Americans that who feel insecure, and they think a gun is like the ultimate way for them to be wiped off the face of the planet. And there's an entire group of countries in the world that have never seen one, right? Because they grew up without the rights to have them. There is a huge purpose for their existence. And it's not for recreation, and it's not for hunting. What I find interesting is that when you make a list for anything in life, you tend to put the most important things at the very tippy top and the least important things at the bottom. Now, all things are probably important because they're on your list. But when you think about the forefathers of the United States of America putting together the Constitution of the United States of America, I think it's fascinating how these infiltrating politicians from other countries who aren't even born here try to negate the first two. In America, the first, amendment to the Constitution is the freedom of speech. And the second one is the right to bear arms. And it has been interpreted using the dumbed-down, educated kids of America to make it mean something else. One of them being hunting. Just blows me away. Yeah, that's what the forefathers meant. You needed a right in the Constitution to hunt animals. Now, remember, when the Constitution was made, most people hunted for their food in the morning. You know? We still had markets and things like that, but think about the Wild West of the 1800s. You mean to tell me they came out here and found a Walgreens waiting for them? No. But it wasn't something you had to protect because it was a strategic resource. It was a strategic method of existing. That's not why the Second Amendment to the Constitution exists at all. It is to say that if the government gets too big for its britches, if the government ceases to fear the people, if the government creates something like the Internal Revenue Service to bully people beyond the rights of the Constitution to allow them to do so, you can rise up with your weapons and take the motherfucker back, right? And what is your alternative if you don't have weapons? You sit as a serf to some new makeshift version of a king and queen. For a lot of you, you actually do have kings and queens. For a lot of you, you have kings and queens on your money. And just like that scene in, Quest for the Holy Grail, was it Michael Palin stacking mud? Who gave these people the supreme rights over man, I've been watching lots of documentaries during the day, like between my my work regiments, and just surfing through a bunch of weird ones. And there was one on Spandau Ballet, which the only song I remember them singing was True. But I watched it because the band was sort of a first-class act, when I was a kid. And there was an aristocratic douchebag in this documentary. If you guys can see it, it's somewhere in the middle when they started talking about how their fashion, because they had all their own clothes made, and so they really were a big reason why the fashion looked the way it did in the 80s. But this old bastard stood on a staircase in some, looked like some other, you know, Masterpiece Theater special, but he said that the problem with the clothing of Spandau Ballet was that it was a direct conspiracy against the aristocratic layer of society, and the conspiracy was that it allowed men to believe that they were equal. I mean, just think about that. For those of you who don't know, the word aristocratic means the banking elite of the world. So the clothing of Spandau Ballet made, it was a conspiracy against the banking cartel cocksuckers of the world, right? I'm laying some words today. And you, how dare you wear these clothings, because the clothing made you believe that you were equal to each other in the utter class structure cesspool that was Britain in the 1970s, which has now lightened up considerably, right? But there was this class structure that said, I am over you. Now, there's class structure everywhere, but they practiced it overtly back in that particular era, which is one of the reasons why, you know, Monty Python and the Holy Grail was trying to break it down in their film, you know, The Quest for the Holy Grail. Monty Python, throughout the entire history of their, I think, fairly privileged lives, you got a bunch of Cambridge grads and Oxford grads. I mean, these kids were not the bottom of the barrel, but they used their power to sort of erode the sharp edges of inequality throughout their comedy bit. So I thought they did a fabulous job, and they sacrificed some of the privilege to make sure that others could have that privilege, in my mind, in the end of the game that they had. But I'm going to put forth a few concepts here. We're going to just talk about gun ownership in general. We're going to talk about the politics of it. We're going to talk about the I guess you could say, psyops and false flags that have been aimed at getting rid of it. But you've heard me, if you've listened to the normal show, the one thing I try to remind my friends who are perhaps in countries that don't have guns, and perhaps you're listening to this angry that I would ever assert that a human being should have their own sovereign gun, the right to own their own sovereign gun, even if you don't want to buy one, that you have the right to have an assault rifle, that you have the right to have a pistol. And yeah, maybe we do test to see whether or not you're a moron. Maybe we do test to see if you have a criminal record. You know, maybe there is just a little bit of background check to see that you're not going to be some, that you're not some guy who's already murdered three people and, oh yeah, here's another gun to go do it again, right? I think that's an exception so tiny that I don't really need to talk about the logic of that. America has guns, right? Everybody knows that. Lots of countries have guns around the world, but America is the superpower of the planet. And I don't see that with any pride that I think it needs to be that way. It just so happened to be that way. And here's the thing. By the citizens of America having weapons and having that preserved Second Amendment, all of the countries in the world that do not have guns are safe. And what does that mean? I mean that if America loses its guns, if America loses the Second Amendment, the amount of horrific, tyrannical, draconian 1984 Orwellian change that will occur in the world will be, in the reference of time that a man has been on this planet, it will be instantaneous and it will be swift. And we will all feel the movement. We will no longer be free individuals in this world, because the psychotic plans of bankers will immediately go into effect, because there will be absolutely no one to fight back anymore. There's 350 million people in America on average. And a lot of them are little kids and a lot of them are old people. But there's over a billion guns in this country. If someone tries to go to England and put forth draconian rule and just simply say the Queen of England's finally going to overtly do what she does, which is repress her people, and be the queen that she is, and rule by the, the force of will, right? The old pre-Magna Carta method of ruling the subjects. America, as long as we have our guns, meaning we control our country, we'll tell our country at the very tippy top of the military industrial complex, in addition to all your black ops shit you're doing to fuck up the world, you go over there and you free England from that queen. That's if she were to do that to you. Same goes for every European country. Same goes for Australia. We would tell our government to go free you. No, I'm pretty sure you guys would fight back yourself. I'm not saying you're incapable of doing that yourself, but I guarantee you, we would force our government to help. But if America loses its guns, if they even felt for a split second they were going to be able to pull it off without losing their lives and losing their death grip on this country through financial corruption of the 16th Amendment, meaning the Federal Reserve and the IRS, if they thought they could pull it off and not lose this 200-year investment of theirs, they would. And if they thought they could get it done in, say, January 1st, their plans for January 2nd would blow your fucking mind. Would blow your fucking mind. Because as soon as the guns are off the street, they take plans that they've had for 200 years, and they not only launch it in America, but they launch it in every single country around the world that has resources and money. Because there's nothing you could do about it. You could be super angry, and that's about all you could do. You know? If they took our guns and stored them somewhere, maybe we could rush that place and get our guns back. But they'd probably melt them all down. There'd be no place to go. But to get all huffy-puffy in your fucking living room, right? And then, the true reason of the Second Amendment would dawn on you. The idea that you were ever told it was for hunting would automatically vanish out of your lexicon, and you would think how much of a fool you were for thinking that this could ever happen. Let's remember the hypocrisy that goes with this whole line of bullshit that the citizens of the world shouldn't be armed if they're sane, right? Every single person in a first world country, all you ladies should have designer pistols in your purses, some badass, you know, six shooter in your purse. All you guys out there that are willing to train up and figure out that it's not a toy to solve an argument, you should have a beautiful sidearm on your hip, on your chest. It's better than a fucking cell phone, right? But we allow the UN blue helmets, some of the biggest mouth breathers on planet Earth, they have guns. And when they were, Kofi Annan was running the joint, his son ran the sex for food scandal down there. I've watched videos myself where it was a surveillance camera on the side of a building. Here comes the old blue helmet rice paddy wagon, right, passing out food. And these African women have to crawl inside the truck. And they're crawling inside the truck, and they're having sex out of camera, and as they're coming out, they're pulling up their panties and pushing down their dresses. And they get their little bag of flour and their bag of rice or whatever so they can feed their kids. I'm sure there's a lot of protection going back and forth in those little encounters, too. The head of the United Nations' son orchestrated that shit. How much time did anybody see? None. None. Because when you're that high up, according to them, you're too big to go to jail. It wouldn't be good for the image of our organization if someone went to jail for committing a crime. That's with guns still in Americans' hands, because they're pulling the little scam there in Africa, which is a big country. We have politicians that surround themselves with armed detail, right? The Secret Service, which is nothing more than an extension of the shadow government. Yeah, most of these kids are okie boys that don't know anything about anything. They're not allowed to get the job unless they prove, just like Rod Serling said, that they've been pre-censored to be morons, to believe the hype. You don't get the job unless you do. I dated a girl where her niece was super excited to get into, was it Naval Intelligence, right? The poor girl was interviewed for months and months and months, and then we're sitting there eating, I believe it was Thanksgiving dinner, and her father, who's a Top Gun pilot for the Navy, retired, said, well, you know, they asked her what she thought about Osama bin Laden. And he was so fucking proud that his daughter was toeing the line of total propaganda and conspiracy, not realizing for a split second that the whole goddamn thing was an inside job, blamed on this intelligence asset named Osama bin Laden, who'd worked for the CIA for 30 fucking years, who died at the end of the 2001 of kidney dialysis problems. Proud. Proud to have created a brainwashed minion to go off and enable these people to take away our rights. Lost, lost, lost. Politicians have guards all over the buildings. Why? You know? Why do they have these things in the middle of countries that don't have weapons? Why is that the case? You know, there's the whole rubber bullet thing. And that we're all brought up in America to think that British cops only have rubber bullets. And then over the last 20 years, we've seen them have the most lethal SWAT teams on planet Earth, right? Their military is definitely just as good as any military on planet Earth, you know. Every single country in Europe has military that are trained to the nines on how to use these weapons. With a society that is disarmed, it almost doesn't make sense to me. Why do you need both sides, right? In case you get invaded, right? It's funny, on this show we've talked about hypothetically America being invaded by a foreign country. I mean, truly and utterly, like, red dawned. And honestly, we don't sit and panic as much. The game would be on, you know? It's not like you wouldn't piss yourself if you saw, you know, a good collection of super trained soldiers falling in your backyard and all you got is a pistol with 5,000 rounds. You know, they're going to smoke your ass if you don't hide for a little while and take them out one by one. Right, which is going to be tough no matter how you do it. You have to have some serious balls when it comes down to it. But fear tends to erode away any of your conscious thoughts of pussification. Other than the E.T. kid in Saving Private Ryan. Oof, that kid forever elected himself out of my movie-going experience. But let's go at the macho social view from Europe to America. I'm sitting in a backyard, and I'm talking about the fact that everyone should have their own guns. I'm talking about you, too, you know. I don't give a shit who you are, you know, as long as you're... In fact, I don't even really care. 14 and up, you should be training before you're 14. You should be firing a gun the second you can hold one in your hand. No, an 8-year-old doesn't need to hold a 44 Magnum, you know, revolver. But you give them a little pop shooter, little BB gun, something to kind of get him familiar with holding one and using one. But you also raise your child that this is not a toy. This is a method of freedom, is what it is, you know? And honestly, I would teach my kids, if I had another chance to do another round, I would tell them that, you know, sometimes governments get out of hand. And what's funny is we teach our kids in America all about the revolution. Of course, it's taught like it's an overnight war. But, you know, they're taught that the government can get out of control. That's what they're taught. But we somehow romanticize it to children today, like, oh, but not this government. It's like, okay. The I think algorithmic mean of governments is that the longer that they stay unchanged and unrethrown, and I don't mean by elections, but by perhaps revolutions or super colonoscopies of how it works, the governments simply get more corrupt every split second. So it starts out good, and because there's aristocratic factions that will pay money to corrupt, it gets corrupted. And there has to be a reset. Remember, I'm always telling you on the show, if you read the old Sumerian texts, they talk about how the fact that their government started out good, gets corrupt, and seemingly these aliens are written about coming out over the mountains, or coming down from the mountains, and then they reset culture, and then they go back up into the mountains. You're talking about history written for, I don't know, 4,000 years, talking about this cycle over and over and over again. Sometimes you get 1,000 years of decent living in Sumeria. Sometimes you get 400 years. That's sort of what's going on here. We have allowed utter and complete corruption to infiltrate and take over this country. We just have, right? All politicians are bought off by corporations. Those corporations are owned by bankers. Those bankers are the same ones that own the Federal Reserve, private for-profit bank. Every single dollar in America is owned by a private bank. It says Federal Reserve note at the top, and just because it has the word federal, most Americans believe it's a federal institution. And I'd say 15, 20 years ago, any American not knowing that the Federal Reserve is a private for-profit bank makes sense, because we didn't have the internet. We didn't have all these beautiful, wise people making videos on the internet such that we could figure this stuff out. But at this point, we're 10 years into the reveal of how the world works. So if anybody's sitting out there today refusing to listen to the truth, well, now they're stupid. They're not just ignorant, because they have been told the truth, and through their own fears or what have you, they're unable to deal with it. And I think that at this day and age, it's unacceptable. But you need to understand that it's not, I mean, you know, there's bravado, right? There is a arrogance of, I have a gun, and so I'm a big, tough guy. And I can tell you that depending on how you're raised, I was extremely fortunate to be raised with a gun being a very respected object. And what's really strange is my uncle, who became an optometrist, he bought his son, you know, whatever BB gun he wanted, and then got him a .22. And his son always had weapons. My dad, who was military, never got me a weapon, not once. Now, it wasn't until probably I was in my mid-teens, and my dad had dated a girl who was divorced. She's probably divorced for a couple of years, but she had sort of a scumbag ex-husband, and he started getting pissed off that someone was dating his wife. It's one of these weird situations where she was hot and this guy was a scumbag. I mean, he just looked atrocious and he was just a dick. But he would, he started talking shit all around town about how he's gonna, you know, rough up my old man for dating his wife. I remember once we're at a Texaco gas station and we're filling up the car. My dad was pretty cool because he had me in the car. He had to be careful. But I heard this guy running his mouth outside the car. I can't remember how old I was. My dad was, you know, I think my dad was just like, oh yeah, you're going to do all this? He's like, I'm here, you know. Of course, the guy didn't do anything. But this guy was a scumbag that he and his brothers, this other guy, they were known in the town for burying cats up to their heads and then running them over with lawnmowers. This is the kind of family the scumbag came from, right? So in my house, my dad just flexed his military training and loaded up our house with all this shit, dude. It was fucking awesome. Our kitchen had a .357 revolver, and then the bedrooms had .45 automatics. But we were ready to rock and roll, and this guy disappeared, and my dad just stopped dating the chick because it was just too much of a fucking hassle. But look at that option. Look at that option that came into a possibility. You got this bully cocksucker running around threatening someone because he fucked up his marriage, because he's a loser, right? And he's running around trying to make sure he still owns his wife, his ex-wife. And honestly, the guy won. The guy actually pushed another dude out of his ex-wife's life, probably much better for her than, obviously, him. But we loaded up, and that was it, you know? So when you have a dude like that in your midst, it's very nice to have an equalizer of, you know, the brute is maybe bigger than you, or if nothing else, he's willing to stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning to go into your home. Maybe he's a shitty neighbor of yours, right? And it just, as a citizen of the world, I can tell you right away, it you don't fear someone coming in your house as much as, you know, if you're completely empty. And all you got, I mean, a kitchen knife's pretty damn awesome, to be honest with you. And a baseball bat's pretty fucking awesome. And a tire iron's pretty awesome. But that's super duper close proximity fighting. And if the other guy's got a gun, then he's going to be able to shoot you from a distance once you start coming at him in your own home. You're the one in the right, you know? Now, I want to say that just because someone comes in your house, I did make a comment in a previous video that It would be D-Day if someone starts climbing into my house. I saw a funny video where some guy came home and a young kid had climbed into his apartment and went to sleep on his sofa. And it was just a mistaken identity of a home because he lived in an apartment complex and, you know, the doors looked the same. The kid got on the wrong floor and we don't even know where the dude lived, but he was completely passed out drunk. You know, you don't shoot a kid like that. But it would be really tough to see, to try and determine that, you know, if like I wasn't at my house and some kid accidentally came in my home and found a way inside the house and was lying down and I came home and there's a dude there, you know, you have to be an adult and assess the situation. You can't just go guns a-blazing because in California, as soon as someone enters your home that is uninvited, you have to have proof that this is the case. But you can shoot and there's no questions asked. There's no, well, he wanted just this one little thing. No, nope, you can shoot him and they're gone. And you won't go to jail. They can't even press charges on you at that point. But if you shoot them while they're climbing in your window and they fall back outside the window and land in your yard, standard situation is you got to answer questions now as to what's going on. The only people that think they could super duper easily and remorselessly kill another human being is someone who's never done it or someone who's probably psychotic, right? But most people in America are not psychotic, right? And, you know, if you talk about home invasion in this country, well, someone might get, I even do it too. I've done it on the show where you see the other side of the home invasion, someone who's really, really, really come in to steal your stuff. Usually no one's going to come in to hurt you. You know, if that's the case, it's some pharmaceutical company climbing in, you know, hiring their hitman to kill you because you talked about vaccinations being, you know, the key route to autistic diagnosis, right? Now, in the middle of the night, and again, if someone's trying to tap on your front door, trying to put a key in your door and trying to, that means they probably think they're at their house and they're just mistaken. You can relax. But now if someone is pulling a screen off the window, sliding it open, jiggling the back door of your sliding screen door in your patio, and, you know, really looking like a criminal break-in, then it's more game on. And statistics have proven that trying to talk it through doesn't really work because you're usually dealing with someone who's high as a kite on something. You know, when you have someone who's a methamphetamine addict, well, they're really looking to steal something very close to the door that they can hawk somewhere to buy their next hit. And they're not right in the mind. And, you know, if you're LL Cool J, yeah, maybe you can manhandle them by the neck and push them down. You won't have to hurt them. You won't have to, you know, kill them. But, you know, if you got some 6'5" guy coming into your house and you're 5'10", I'm afraid there's going to be a fresh grave somewhere, you know. And it would be horrific. You're going to make a huge mess in your house no matter how you do it. And it's not something that if you're trained properly, you won't just knee-jerk to that solution. But sometimes it needs to be that swift of a decision. But again, guns in this country have a secondary priority to defend you during a home invasion. First priority is defend yourself against a tyrannical government, against a president that passes executive orders to get his way because he doesn't want to listen to the voting constituents. You know, and what you need to know about America right at this point is this. We always tell you that left and right paradigms are fake, and they are. They're completely one team, one side. They do exactly what the bankers of Europe tell them to do. And those commands come down straight from the bankers. They come in from investment banking houses. They come in from major corporations like lobbyists for pharmaceutical companies, energy companies, oil companies. But it's still the same exact source, which is why they always behave exactly the same. So there's this thing that we mentioned on the show a lot, and if Kyle mentions it again, I'll clarify with him, but the executive order mechanism from the President of the United States is merely a way for the left and right to not do their job and vote. They are in complete support of the executive order mechanism. They love it because then they don't have to take any bad hits for super controversial issues. So let's say that Obama wanted to absolutely abolish the Second Amendment. The left and the right will tell the Hill, you better be doing that by executive order, because if this backlashes, you're the one going down, not us, right? We're not going to have this filibuster thing in the courts for 6 months to 6 years. We're just going to watch you do it. We'll see how it passes with the people. If there's a giant revolution, we're going to point our finger at the White House and say, go get him, because we don't want to go down, because they're all chicken shit backstabbers. That's what every single person on the Hill is, right? But I can tell you, having grown up in the Midwest, because, you know, here's what I'm going to go for right now. For those of you who are European friends, your Australian friends, which have very few listeners in those areas, but if you're looking at me and you're like, oh, there's the cowboy asshole from America talking about guns. I grew up in cowboy land, okay? I grew up in Kansas. My family was extremely embedded into Kansas, right? One of my families owned the county north of the county I lived in, you know, every plot of land. They fought in civil wars a couple times. My family's been in this country since 1630, okay? You know, we got Dodge City just 300 miles west of my hometown. You know, we have the Salina cattle ranches. I mean, we are the cowboys that you keep talking about. You don't get any more cowboy than Kansas, right? As much as Texas will argue with me. Here's the thing. Sitting in Kansas with, from time to time, I'll find myself, although this is less and less, but every once in a while, I'll go back to Kansas and be talking to some of my old friends, or I'll, you know, what actually most recently happens is that I talk to my friends and their parents will come around, and I'll hear all this racist bullshit, you know, this, blacks are invading the world, which I think is absolutely hilariously uneducated. But I hear that kind of stuff. And what I'm trying to say is that I hear the extreme of the cowboy brain thought in the 21st century. Okay. There's nothing that I hear that remotely matches the stereotypical sort of BBC reenactment of Americans, right? The original House of Cards that had Francis Urquhart, the British series, they had this actor that did a brilliant job. I mean, he was very British looking, but he was a brilliant actor that did an American sort of Hearst yellow journalism guy that came in from New York, and he was goddamn this and goddamn that, and, you know, he was just really swearing a lot. It was like this unethical, uncouth, you know, rough around the edges American that was sort of the cowboy mentality, right? And I'm sure that those people have existed in times, and I'm sure that the writer who wrote the book in 82 that that series was based on has met some people like that in his lifetime. But that whole sort of renegade, rogue, cowboy American, you know, the cowboys that I have met in my lifetime are your super-duper centered, calm, relaxed individuals in this world. They aren't the, you know, I don't know, your crazy cowboy guy that's trying to go in and see how many people he can shoot at a saloon. I've never met a guy like that in my life. I've only seen it portrayed on television and movies, right? I think Kevin Costner's first movie, where he was a cowboy in some Western, he played a character like that for a split second when he had a personality on camera for 1 second. And I'm sure I could go to the Deep South and find different different mentalities that are more knee-jerky, but they're usually super young kids. And they don't have a lot of resources. They don't have a lot of money. They may have access to their daddy's gun arsenal, but the second the daddy finds out that they're acting like assholes with the guns, there's going to be a footprint in a bunch of kids' assholes, let me tell you that much, because these adults, they mature up really well, and especially our soldiers who have coming back from war, they're extremely mature with the whole use of force. They really are. You know, even if they went in at 19, excited to get a kill count, they come home lucid. They come home centered. And unfortunately, some are suffering from PTSD, right? So we have to love our soldiers and help them out, you know? But in America, it goes something like this. You, especially in California, what just passed, I don't even know if it passed, but there's an executive order now to do background checks on all the 50 states in America. The background check has existed in California for a while. Now, it's not that Americans have a problem with a little bit more qualification to own a weapon. What we don't like is certain weapons to be banned which are weapons that could fight against the same military that we employ. And most of us, you know, there's this knee-jerk thing that happens when we think about being taken over by our government. For a split second, we buy the hype. And I mean, almost literally, we literally buy it for a split second. We buy the hype that we think our military is going to turn on us. And then once you have a sentient thought past that point for a split second, you realize there's no way that's going to occur. Our military pledges to protect the Constitution of the United States, whether that be a faux pledge by the bankers that control the military, right, to make them go off and kill people that have nothing to do with the Constitution, right? Eventually, if you were to tell a soldier, you were going to now violate your oath. Your one thing you're supposed to do is protect this Constitution. Now we want you to go door to door and take it all away. They won't do it in any massive level of bulk because they're built out of all these boys in the Midwest. And that shit's infectious, you know? Why would you risk your life for something that you're going to actually destroy in the end? It won't happen, all right? So Americans, you know, in the end, we don't necessarily need to worry about the military taking over the United States of America. It will be an awkward day if that command ever comes down. But what I always try to say in these shows is to say, okay, I don't think that there's a military kid who's, I would say, well, geez, I think that most people in the world at this point who are maybe, say, 40 and younger, that's the way to do it. I was trying to figure out the way to put this in age bracket. They've all heard the conspiracies about government taking over the country and turning it into some tyrannical rule, getting rid of the guns, putting in German checkpoints between states. They've all heard those rumors. And being patriotic boys and girls, they get inside the military and they see the American flag everywhere, albeit gold-fringed, loyalist, aristocratic flags, right? They don't understand they're worshiping a flag that is absolutely not backed by the Constitution of the United States. If you ever see an American flag with gold fringes on it, you are worshiping an aristocratic European banking cartel. That's what that flag is, right? They could have put Mickey Mouse in the center. As long as it has a gold fringe, it's a different logo. All the patches that our military boys put on their shoulders, that makes them a military asset of a banking cartel, as long as it has the gold fringe on it. And if you've been told anything else about it being regal and all that stuff, you're being lied to by the person who's been indoctrinated, most likely. That's why the court systems in America have gold fringe flags. They're not ruling on your problem in court based on the Constitution. They're ruling down from these corporate bylaws of the United States of America Corporation. All right? But the Constitution is a flag without a gold fringe. That's what that flag means. That's the one we need to fly at parades. If you're an old fart running around parades in your hometown with a gold fringe flag thinking you're being hoorah for your country, I want you to take it out in your backyard. I want you to cover it in kerosene. I want you to videotape burning that son of a bitch to the ground. And I want you to send us the video to MKUltra Radio at Facebook. Okay? That flag needs to be burned down. If we ever take over this country, I would personally make it a felony to own the gold-fringed American flag. A felony. Sort of an instantaneous three strikes and you're out felony. Right? Because that is like, that is an aristocratic resistance flag. That is a flag that says, I want my country to die and I want it to be taken over by all financial means necessary. That's what an American flag with a gold fringe on it means. And if a soldier says, I want these patches replaced with a normal flag, I want these gold fringes off, and it is never to be represented on my shoulder backwards, that reversed symbolism, I want them all normal flags on both my shoulders. Don't give me this bullshit about going into the wind and all that other crap. If you're going to put flags on me, it's got to be American flags. Just watch how that resistance goes down, right? So the right to bear arms is an insurance policy. It's just that simple. And what I think is very interesting is that the government of which this Second Amendment has been created to protect us against, once the government attempts to take that away from you, that shows their intent, right? It shows their intent to get rid of something that has only been preserved to get rid of them. And so to the degree you wonder what the plans are behind the Capitol Hill, which is controlled by these bankers, right? Once they try to come after the guns, you know that what they're trying to do is get to that day after all the guns are gone, right? Which means their intent is manifesting. They're trying to get closer to this end game of taking over the entire world. These Boston Dynamics robots that everybody's so has such a hard-on for, those are our future. Those are our future rulers and our future controllers if we don't preserve the Second Amendment and preserve our rights and preserve it for everyone else in the world. I was watching the, like I said, I was watching that Spandau Ballet special, and they showed Margaret Thatcher during the coal strike of England, which is the big thing that kicked off this carbon is bad and it turned into global warming bullshit, right? It took them about 30 years to stitch it all together. As per one of her assistants, who ratted on her in the movie The Great Global Warming Swindle. But you see Margaret Thatcher talking to, was it Geldof, the guy who organized the We Are the World thing? And he was talking about the VATs killing music, and which is the taxes for all you Americans, the tax, you know, tariffs. And she literally says to him this total line of just loyalist bullshit, right? Saying, well, you know, we've taken your tax money and we've put it back into the system. And so we're helping you. And, you know, the government has to collect taxes from somewhere. Both lines, complete bullshit. Of course, he knows it's complete bullshit. But this idea that America didn't have income tax on your personal wages until 1913 and we did just fine. It's because you tax the corporations. You tax tobacco and firearms. You tax some very specific things. Actually, if you tax corporations in America, it made it a benefit to have corporations here through great labor, you know. Or just say, hey, you want to sell a product to an American, you got to make it in America. Ooh, how about that, right? How about you do it like all these other countries? What's really funny is they keep telling you how China is going to be this big superpower, right? They have 50 ghost cities. 50 ghost cities that can house 800 million people, right? They mandate that their country owns 51% of any corporation in their country. This tyrannical rule is what is fueling the, you know, the aristocratic line of bullshit that they're going to be a big superpower in the world. So is that what we want for our countries? Disarmed, where everything's owned by the country. You know, I just watched another special on North Korea by this Spanish documentary filmmaker, and it was probably one of the most unique ones because there was a Spanish guy, it was his buddy, that actually is an ambassador and a citizen, honorary citizen of North Korea. And, you know, it's all heavily orchestrated on this camera. You know, they're only allowed to go to certain places. Everybody, you know, these empty hospitals, these empty universities, but these big universities that everyone gets to go to. But what I found was interesting is where we're headed is right towards that archetype with everything that they're trying to do in America. You know, disarm us, export all of our jobs. What would this country be if we couldn't employ our middle class? So, you know, the way to escape the lower class and middle class is through education. Well, we're going to get a really good education. From the second a kid's born, they're absolutely indoctrinated away from anything that's hard work. They're vaccinated to the points their brains don't work really well. And even if they don't get the diagnoses of some autistic brain damage spinoff, you know, like ADD or some sort of brain damage where they can't think straight and communicate, how do they get through college? Even if they had the coveted access to amazing education, how do they make it work? And then they come out with this amazing education. They actually have the knowledge to make it happen. And where do they find the job in America? So the gun rights thing is in a homogenous strategy to say, we need to protect the very fabric of our country. That is everything that is the experiment of true freedom. How can one say that Europe, who is, you know, entirely disarmed and Australia, which is entirely disarmed, say that we that is a more vibrant version of the freedom experiment. When your government won't trust you with weapons. Hey, if you're so intellectual and if you're so balanced, especially superior to Americans, well, then you should definitely be able to own guns. You're the guys that should own guns more than we do because you're so intellectually powerful that you got the drop on all reality, right? I think we should entrust you more than we entrust ourselves. We're still the immature Americans, which are religious loyalists, and, you know, we're very reactionary over here. Boys do a little thing to us and we're ready to kill everybody, you know? You know, and it's like, again, it's not to to create a violent nation. When I was in England, my big thing with England was I was there 3 times in the year 2000. Okay. On a business trips to build EA.com in the UK. And, you know, I would walk around during the day, and I remember at least on my second trip where I really walked around London a lot, there were these signs in parks where people had been shot by guns. And all I could think of was, yeah, because your criminals have them and your citizens don't. You know, a woman had been murdered, I think, was the sign I saw outside of this cafe, and they were just trying to make sure everybody understood this area might not be safe at night because they hadn't caught the guy that did it, right? Well, women who are extremely good at guns, I don't know what it is. They're just really good at weapons. If she had a little pea shooter in her purse, the guy would have been at least wounded, if not dead. And maybe he's a jerk and kills her in the process. But at least the buck stops there, you know. And the next criminal that thinks about trying to mug a woman goes, well, shit, I don't want to die. Look at the other guy who died. There's no money in running out there to die. And, you know, how many times have we had massacres in America? If everybody had a gun, these shooters would be dead in a couple bullets. Even if they got a couple of us, we would absolutely Swiss cheese these guys. And we think a lot of these massacres that are happening in the United States are either false flags, which means our government's orchestrating them, or in the end, people actually don't die, but they tell everybody people die. As a professor that was just fired for studying Sandy Hook, for just merely talking about the evidence that has been uncovered about that event, all the crisis actors, all the fake parents, the fact they tore down the building that's the school and they have it under armed guard, just like the building in Oklahoma City that was bombed, right? It's still in the ground and it's under armed guard because it has evidence that a bomb blew up inside the building. This whole bullshit about our president fake crying on camera, he's just the biggest scumbag that we've ever had in the presidency's office ever. And the only thing that could top it would be Hillary Clinton, you know, after her Bernie. But, you know, it's all because of the San Bernardino shootings that we had here in California, right? Okay. So, you know, the official story is that they were allowed into this country. They're Muslim extremists, right? They had all this training from violent mosques and stuff. And these two people, they killed however many people they killed up there, right? These two people ruined it for all 50 states that they all now have to have background checks. When it was the immigration board that let these people in without checking their papers, the government failed the United States American citizens if these people were real. And I actually think that this one was real. I think they brought in two Muslim extremists, husband and wife. They filtered them straight into this country looking like absolute fucking terrorists. They looked like they had goddamn bombs strapped to their chest when they came to the airport where they took photographs of themselves, something that's been a published photograph. Well, the grandma, who is 85 years old, grew up in Kansas. She's wheelchair bound, gets a full colonoscopy check to see if she's got a bomb smuggled up her ass. These Muslims walked in, didn't get checked. They're put up in some urban area of San Bernardino, which, if you guys don't know, it's just like a desert community. And then, boom, they walk into this place after a party or something, and they shoot everybody. It was a domestic violence thing, if nothing else. They got offended by someone at a party and went in and shot everybody up. Okay. Hey, how about you keep all these fuckers out of our country? Government. You're letting in these violent military people. I'm just quoting back the official story to you guys, right? But, you know, there's all this talk on television. If you watch all these crime shows on television, right, you get all this, we don't negotiate with terrorists, right? No. America doesn't negotiate with terrorists. America completely capitulates to these assholes. We completely capitulate down to anything that they do. 9/11, what do? We gut our Constitution because a bunch of unidentified people slam planes into buildings. We capitulate. We lost all of our rights. We have surveillance now on every single piece of electronic equipment in planet Earth. All right? And by the way, you Europeans, you got it too. You got it because we got it. But you know what they did was they beautifully spread the peanut butter everywhere, right? The peanut butter of terrorism, and they spread it because what do you have? You have the 9/11 happens, then the Madrid bombs happens, then the 7/7 bombings happen, right? So they spread it all around so everybody feels like they need to have a little bit of tyranny on their backs to make it a protected world. Everybody gave up to this. Every country gave up to this, and we think we're civilized. We think we're fighting for freedom. I don't care if they nuke New York. I mean, I do care if they nuke New York. But even if New York City was nuked and some god-awful amount of people are murdered, we cannot get rid of freedom in this country. If nothing else, the President of the United States should have got on the television and said, I want every American to go down and buy a gun. We are subsidizing gun purchasing through the government's taxes. This is the model you can buy. We want you to buy this 40 cal Glock, and we want you to buy this Mossberg shotgun, and we want you to buy this AR-15. In fact, we're gonna remove the restrictions on M16s. We're gonna issue military grade M16s. They're gonna be $100 a pop, or they're gonna be free. And every single citizen in this country should be armed to the teeth. And if you're sitting in a facility where a bunch of Muslims come in and start blowing up shit, you start pulling the trigger. And sure, maybe there's a little bit of friendly fire and some innocent people get killed. But guess what? We knock those son of bitches down. And again, when the terrorist cells think about what they're going to do, they're going to think differently. But we get aggressive towards the terrorism and we don't capitulate to the terrorism. We keep our rights. We don't give up our rights. But what have we done? We've given up our rights. Now, way before the 7/7 bombings, England, London started filling the whole place with cameras. By the time the 7/7 bombings occurred, they had 6 million cameras in London, treating everyone like they're criminals. Let me just ask you, my friends from England, are you all terrorists? Are you all criminals? I don't think you are. I don't even think a fraction of a percent are, right? I even think the Muslim communities over there that have been, built over the last 20 years are fairly peaceful. Maybe it gets unpeaceful at some point because you've allowed the fabric of your nation to change. And, once the majority, isn't your traditional belief systems, then they can simply say, okay, in Great Britain, the whole island and Ireland, no women can show an ankle. Right? Drinking is off limits. Eating meat is off limits. Eating pork is off limits. Just wait for that to happen because all they need is 51% and you're the minority all of a sudden. You've lost your sovereignty to the EU. Merkel is at the tip of the spear to destroy all of Europe. Oh, and she's tightening her grip on the immigration policies. This woman has no thoughts of her own. That's why she's been given that job. She's simply been told what to do, and she is one of these backstabbers of Europe who's willing to do it. We have a president that's willing to do it over here. I don't think we're thinking logically about this whole thing because we're all swept away and sort of, again, Americans are likened to cowboys. I visit cowboy land, once every 5 years or so. I'm not seeing any cowboy stuff going on. I'm not. I don't even hear cowboy talk. But I'm sitting here in Orange County, California, which out of all of California is probably the most armed county in the entire state, save perhaps Los Angeles County, which has a lot of gang reinforcement. But I feel safe. I feel safe against the absolute illogical. You know, I also feel like we're the first target because we are the most armed. But, you know, at the same time, I don't think that they believe this is going to be a quick fix to their problem. The aristocratic people that want to get rid of the guns and take over this country, I don't think they believe they're going to be able to pull it off quickly. So they're willing to wait and slowly ebb the millennials into socialism and perhaps tell them, hey, you know, you can be famous for doing nothing if you just get rid of guns, you know? But I wanted to talk briefly, before I finish this up, about the psychology of fearing guns. Because you'll hear me talk about it every once in a while on the show, and Kyle and I talk about it, you know. You fear guns until you fire one. I took my daughter out, I think at 13, I took her down to the shooting range, and I let her fire a pistol. And I told her everything that I felt when I was her age about fearing, you know, hurting myself. When you see a gun go off in someone's hand and you haven't done it yet, it's a little freaky. You know, it makes a huge pop. You got to wear earplugs, otherwise you're going to be pretty damn deaf, which is something that's always lost on television shows. You know, people run around these homes or around these buildings firing guns at each other. It's like the conversation after a gunfight on television would go something like this. What? Huh? Well, I can't hear you. You know, that'd be the way it would go, right? But my daughter squeezed off a few rounds and she immediately felt comfortable. She immediately felt the spectrum of emotion that one can have. And it went from one of absolute fear to this I'm not exaggerating. For those of you who haven't done it, you'll go from absolute fear of something going wrong and you losing a finger, losing your life, or whatever you think could possibly go wrong. And it flips to confidence. It flips to a sense of security. And I don't see people get this power-hungry thing because they still fear the weapon itself. They still realize that, being in a shooting range, for instance, one of my golden rules is to watch the shooting range through the window before I go in. I want to see who's there. I want to see if there's some, white gangbanger wannabe turning his gun sideways, which they would kick your ass if he did that. But somebody behaving immaturely in the firing line, that's when you don't go into that particular facility and fire. You just want to kind of see the psychology. There's been one or two cases in the entire history of America where some guy went into the shooting ranges and turns and starts trying to shoot people in the shooting range. Again, the guy gets dropped fast because everybody's armed, right? Especially the owners of the place. But if everybody was so psychotic in America, that'd be happening constantly, but it just doesn't happen. And so by the time my daughter was done, I'm sure she would be freaked out to have to use one to protect herself, but provided she were to have one, which she doesn't, she could do it. And so then we have this thing in America, which is this draconian clamp on concealed carry. And that just means you can carry it on your body. And I don't think concealed carry should be necessary. I think everyone should be able to holster a weapon. Like, I think Texas allows you to holster your weapon no matter where you are. As long as you have the right to own one, you can put one on your hip. And of course, your cops that don't want any competition, they get freaked out when it happens. There's all these videos in America where these guys are walking down the side of the highway with AR-15s on their backs. And the cops have actually been pretty cool. They pull him over and go, why are you carrying your weapon like that? And he's, because I can, because it's my right. And they go, okay, we just want to make sure you understood what you were doing. You weren't going to the local supermarket to kill your girlfriend. You know? And there are videos on sites like LiveLeak where, you know, lovers in their disputes in weapons in China. There's a lot of Chinese, I've just seen, gosh, probably half a dozen of them out of a country with a little over a billion people, right? You will get the guy that walks in and tries to reconcile with his girlfriend and she doesn't have anything to do with him and he pulls out a gun and shoots her. Yeah, that does happen. You know, and it's extremely unfortunate that the guys resort to weapons to solve their personal problems, right? I haven't heard that much. I mean, it does happen in America. There are people who shoot up offices because they get fired and that kind of stuff. I think that, one, the girlfriend doesn't have a weapon. Two, the employers don't have weapons. And so when people get out of control, they can shoot up entire offices because no one has any weapons. Like all these schools that get blown away. Columbine was a very real deal, even though there's some conspiratorial things with Columbine. More namely, was it 6 or 7 dozen propane tanks that were brought into the cafeteria that day and lined up in the cafeteria? Someone in the middle of the night put a bunch of propane tanks in there as if they're going to blow the place up. They never got to that point, but it definitely wasn't the two kids that blew everybody away. They needed trucks and trucks and trucks of these things, and someone did it. I believe those propane tanks were on video. You know, the kid was the trench coat mafia. He was the son of an FBI agent. You know, really odd how that happens. And he was on a bunch of psychotropic drugs to keep him from being depressed or something, right? So owning weapons is not something that is, again, it's not for civil disputes. It's not to go to your neighbor who's playing his music loud and threaten him and brandish a weapon. That stuff is still illegal, just so you know, guys, right? If a guy is going to be that careless with a weapon, well, if he brandishes it without firing it, that he can immediately go to jail and have his right to own the right to bear arms removed from him because he shows a lack of discipline with the privilege of the rights that we've been given by our forefathers, right? Most of the time you own them and you respect them because they are extremely powerful. There's that Australian comedian, I forgot his name, but he took a shit on our Second Amendment. He came over here and took a shit on the Second Amendment and took money home for it. I would uninvite him to this country. But his big thing was that he was actually home invaded with his girlfriend, and I guess he was asleep, and he made fun of the fact that if he owned a weapon, he would have kept it in a safe, and that he wouldn't been able to undo the safe to get his gun out to protect himself in the time that the home invasion took place. He insinuated that we all do this in America, that we all have safes, and we keep every single weapon in the safe. Okay. I think most Americans keep one right by the old nightstand, right? You keep it somewhere near yourself while you're asleep, and you keep it out of eyeshot of any thief, and so they push up on you, and if they don't shoot you immediately in your sleep, they got a problem on their hands. There's no combination being undone. Well, maybe that's some more arsenal. Maybe that's how you store it when you leave for vacation or when you leave for an extended period of time. But that's not the way that it's supposed to be. But again, these weapons aren't necessarily made for home invasion defense. Maybe you roll the dice with home invasion that it's only a 1 in a million thing. But I'm sitting here in Huntington Beach. I told the story a long time ago, but it's good for you to hear it again. A very good friend of mine had a girlfriend, and her mother lived about 5 miles from here in Fountain Valley. Fountain Valley is a very safe town because this whole area is super duper safe. But she wakes up in the morning, she has a little dachshund dog, little wiener dog, and the wiener dog's with her in the bedroom on the second floor of this little tiny townhouse. And she wakes up, broad daylight, goes into her front room, and there's a Mexican immigrant downstairs watching television in her house, obviously uninvited. She is freaked out. She doesn't own a gun. Had she owned a gun, that situation might have gone a lot different. But he was ready. He had been eating her food all night. He found her car keys. She starts yelling at him. He doesn't speak English. And I guess the way that she tells the story, one, he climbed in through the bathroom window, one of these little tiny bathroom windows on the first floor. He, in response to her yelling at him, very nonchalantly reaches up and grabs the car keys, goes to the kitchen, goes into the garage, grabs her car. Door's already open. Leaves in her car. She calls the cops. She reports her car. The cops are on the guy and nothing flat. There's a 12-hour car chase. He totals the car. Doesn't remotely get hurt and gets put in jail. We all like to believe that home invasion is this one in a million thing, but I think that it's slightly better odds that you're going to run into it in your lifetime. Not terribly high odds, but it happens. You know, and especially women that are by themselves in these homes. You know, women get dogs all the time, one because they're lonely, and two because they want a little extra protection, a bark in the middle of the night. But a dachshund ain't going to do much besides freak you out. There's no reason in getting a dog, okay, if you don't have a gun. Because if the other guy has a gun, your dog's dead. And all you want your dog to do is signal to you, it's time to get your gun. And you don't have to run down and shoot the guy in your living room. That's a battle. But you can at least sit there and hunker down in your bedroom, and hopefully you've thought things through a little bit about, okay, this is my most defensible position in the bedroom. And this is how much time I'm going to give to firing a gun, you know, before you assess your target. Let's put it that way. But let's just say you're freaked out. I mean, it could be your loved one. So you have to be a little careful, right? So you want to give yourself at least half a second to a second to assess a target before you start firing on them. Now, your relatives aren't probably going to walk around your house in pitch black dark. So if that starts happening, when you got to figure out where you're shooting. But you're going to have a technique to light your house real fast and do what you got to do, you know? Now, I will say, in my own family, we did have an interesting situation. My dad's mom, I've talked about her several times, but she was a tough cookie. And she kept a .45 revolver in her, I believe it was a .45, in her closet. And one night, my cousin foolishly, he got locked out of his house. Instead of coming two doors down to my house and pounding on my window, which I was probably up programming on speed, and we have plenty of sleeping room for this guy, he goes across town to my grandmother's house and starts knocking on her door. And it must have been late. Well, she doesn't know what's going on. She was asleep for the cognitive knock that would have been probably more friendly. He should have rang the doorbell, for Christ's sake. But she got the gun out. And she went to the door and was just waiting for someone to push in the door. She wasn't going to fire through the door, but she was waiting for someone to try to push in the door. And it was her little side door. And my cousin finally just lost his will to trying to get into my grandma's house. He didn't force himself, but he was just trying to wake her up, and he left. But he left, and my grandmother then, the next day, calls my uncle and says, you know, yeah, someone was pounding on my door, and I got my gun out, and I was going to shoot him as soon as they came to the door. And then my cousin somehow mentioned at dinner that he tried to go to grandma's house last night, and they put the two together. And so it definitely freaked my grandmother out. But even in her, I don't know, she must have been in her 70s at the time, early 70s, she was smart enough to put seconds of delay and put cognizant thought between, hey, I'm not going to run a bunch of bullets through my window and kill whoever's outside. She's going to wait for invasion to take place, right? But if that had been a criminal, foolishly trying to get into a house by making a bunch of noise, well, my grandmother would have put him on his back, you know? And consequently, next door, there was a one of the town millionaires, one of the town oil moguls. He put his mistress up in the house next to my grandmother's, and there was a night where he had a dispute with his wife, his mistress, and I don't know what the deal was, why the dispute occurred, but he ended up firing a bullet towards her, and it went to my grandmother's front yard. And one of the pictures of my cousin and I on the front page of the newspaper was sitting there watching this cop trying to dig the bullet out of the ground with a little pocket knife. They never did find that bullet. And of course, in a beautifully corrupt fashion, the guy gets completely off. No charges at all. Attempted murder, right? Gets completely off because he's worth so much money. Now, karma came back and shut down his company in the late 80s. So to wrap it up, I think that every American of age, of sound mind, should buy a gun. And I think that if you want to have the full-blown arsenal, you need a close-range pistol. I suggest getting, I personally go for 40 cal because it's what the police officers and the military use. It's more powerful than a 9mm, and it's not quite as laborious as a 45. Slightly cheaper. A Mossberg shotgun makes a beautiful sound when it's loaded. Again, you have ammunition, round limitations in California, unfortunately. But if you can be in some of these states where you can have like 8 rounds in it, be my guest, man. And as a lot of our retired military suggests that we do, you get one assault rifle, AR-15 being the best one in America. Now, they're extremely expensive if you're just a normal person. So you need to probably pay about $1,200 for the gun and then maybe another $1,200 for our scoping and that kind of thing. And the way our military has told us is they say, look, you know, if the first wave of a gun seizure in America is going to be with range. You know, there's not enough drones in America to go bombing every home. And if they ever started doing that kind of thing, which obviously wouldn't be televised, the population would revolt very, very quickly. And so would our military. But even if they're able to convince a small contingency of our military under some moment of distress, right, some Katrina-type moment where they think going door-to-door is the best thing to do, our military says, look, range is God when you're fighting a war. To shoot someone so far away that, one, they can't see you, and you can get them a long, long ways away. And you need to train for the the way that bullets travel over long periods of time or long distances, right? Because you do need to adjust a little bit. So those are the three guns that Americans should own. I think that concealed carry should be achieved if you can do it. I need to go after that myself here in Orange County. These are constitutional rights for Americans. Again, it's not for hunting, and home invasion is the second objective. Which again is, home invasion has a really low odds of ever happening to you, and your government trying to take you over is probably a tenth of those odds. So it's actually very, very rare. But it's nice to have it all put in place, such that we prevent it from ever occurring. Right? The idea that you have all these militants immigrating into Europe, and it's being controlled by your European Union. All these, military age guys coming in, who knows what their plan is, right? But I guarantee you, walking around in the middle of the night, shooting people for being different, which is what's occurred in Europe for the last 2 years, right? I've seen videos since 2013 of these Muslim guys getting guns in Europe, which is illegal, and killing people who are different than them, just following them outside of nightclubs and shooting them on camera. How far are you going to let that go before you demand that you have the same rights Americans do? How arrogant would Merkel be if she was looking at an entirely armed European Union? Every citizen in the European Union gets some inalienable right to bear arms. The whole demeanor of their hubris would temper tremendously, right? If anything, you could say, well, we tried it without guns. We tried it without guns, and we didn't like it. We didn't like being powerless. And the more that the government puts surveillance equipment in all of our devices, the more they put surveillance equipment in all of our cities, the more that they greenlight drone programs, where foreign governments can drive the drones over our cities, having no compassion for our indigenous citizens. We'd like to have some options, And the thing is if your government fights back against you having weapons, then there's an objective there. If they don't have any ill intent in their books planned for you, then there shouldn't be any problems with you owning weapons. But they want to be the only ones in town with these armed battalions surrounding them. I don't care what city you're in or what country you're in Europe. If your leaders come through town, every dude in a black coat has got an Uzi, some sort of weapon, if not multiple weapons on them, and they're highly trained to use them. Why is that? Obviously, they've done their due diligence. Obviously, when they have all the money in the world and all the perceivable rights to do whatever they want to do, they could have solved the problem of protecting their politician any way they want to. And which way did they choose? Which way did they choose as the most efficient way to protect the person that they're hired to protect? Guns. Well, then why aren't you able to do the same thing? Are we still subscribing to class structure? Are we still saying that these people are higher than you? You know? That thing I mentioned at the beginning of the show about the aristocratic guy trying to slam Spandau Ballet's clothing style because it was a conspiracy against the aristocrats to make people feel like they're equal to each other. All right? What's the Church of England teach? Well, this aristocratic douchebag was on some BBC special uttering that line in public, right? That guy should have been lynched, at least socially. He's telling you that that you're not equal, right to your face. And, you know, all I would say is that even though that guy may be dead and gone by now and his ways have long died with him, I assure you that under the hood, these individuals still believe the exact same thing. They are better than you. The whole Catholic Church promotes class structure, right? The Pope is above you. His bishops and monarchs are above you, right? They're all above you. They give their power to the monarchs through approval. It still goes on to this day. Rome is still alive, if nothing else, right? This is a way to equalize everybody, to make sure that we actually are equal. Because the 110-pound woman walking through the park at night because she has to have a shitty job because her country's giving away all the jobs to somebody else, well, hey, someone thinks about moving up on her and they know that she's got a pea shooter on her. And if anybody hears her scream, they got him too. The guy's going to be under siege. Even if he hurts the one person and disables them, well, he could have 10 people on him in 2 seconds. Just like Walking Dead when you make noise, right? We're not trying to get you armed to be a nuisance to your neighbors and to be a nuisance to everyone around you. There is training that you must go through in some states, in some areas. Maybe training's the way we make it happen. But ladies, you guys are naturals with guns, just so you know. And ladies, if you've ever been afraid of a gun, and I've seen girls from Iowa come into my house here, raised on farms with brothers and fathers that own shit tons of guns. And when I first got my first weapon here, I was cleaning it. It was completely unloaded. The ammunition was in a different room. And she looked at this thing like Superman looks at a big bar of kryptonite. She was utterly terrified of this thing. I mean, she just turned white looking at it. And it's out of pure indoctrination, pure ignorance that feeling came over her. And I told her, I said, you need to go to a shooting range, right? And I never got her to one. But every woman I've known here in Orange County that has had a fear of weapons, the second that they go shoot, they want one. They want one right away. And they want multiple, you know? We have to protect our weapons. We have to protect our ammunition companies. And right now there's, trillionaires running around trying to buy up all the munitions companies and shut them down to make every round cost too much money. The criminals will always have guns. And the third world countries that are the big threats to our societies will always have guns. And what's really weird about it is our first world countries make most of the guns, make most of the ammo, and sell them off to these people. So we're arming the resistance. And again, these aristocratic people, they think that they're safe in their houses on the hills and their bunkers or whatever. They think they're really going to be capable of not being taken over themselves. And it's just ludicrous. Because the bottom of the pyramid's never taught what the top of the pyramid wants to do. So by arming the bottom of the pyramid in these third world country means they're just begging for trouble. So let's arm the center of the pyramid as sort of this mezzanine control mechanism with intelligence right there. We have intelligence, and we have the money, and we have the power to maintain this thing called freedom. And you may not believe everything I've said in this video, but look at how, you know, we've had orchestrated massacre after orchestrated massacre in this country, in America. There's a bunch of people who are dead right now because our government orchestrates massacres, either by letting these people in to do whatever they're going to do, or they actually synthesize the whole thing together, or sometimes they're completely fake. But every single time, America, you know, you want to call us big tough cowboys. Well, we're not tough cowboys. We're whimpering little children in the corner every time something happens. Oh, we'll get rid of all of our rights. That'll fix everything. Yeah, because criminals follow rules, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's nuts that we go over to foreign countries and bomb their living crap out of them. And then we don't think we should arm ourselves. Oh, really? Right? Like I said, America is, if you want to think about how the world works, think of Thor's hammer, right? Big giant piece of lead on one end or whatever the hell his end of his dwarf created hammer is made out of, right? Well, the handle goes back to the aristocratic layer of Europe. And the big slamming, thudding end of this hammer is America. And so the aristocrats grab the handle and they slam the Middle East with this horrible hammer. And they rile up the hornet's nest. And when the hornets come out, they look at the hammer. They look at the tip of the hammer, the thing that actually hit them. They don't look at the handle that causes the hammer to come down on them. And so the animosity goes to America. It goes a little bit to Europe, but not much. They might look at who supports America. And there's a lot of ass-kissing because we're the biggest, most powerful country in the world, you know, unfortunately. So everybody's kind of in the hammer tip. But the people calling the shots in the back are the handle grabbers. And we ourselves aren't paying attention to the handle grabbers. And that's the people we need to singe their hands off. Chop them off and singe them off and put them in some fucking dungeon until they're gone. If you want to make the world a peaceful place, you need to get rid of all those folks that finance war. Don't blame the people. I haven't personally authorized a war. I haven't personally engaged in it myself. You know, I respect those who think that they're doing the right thing. But I'm not your problem, man. I am not your problem. Your politicians that put this stuff together on behalf of the banks are the ones that are causing the problems, and the banks are the tippy-tippy top of the pyramid. And I think everybody knows that now. So guns are your right to protect your family and your livelihood. It really is. And if you're in England and they let you have a shotgun for shooting, for hunting purposes, and you got to forge all that paperwork to make sure that's the case, then fine. Do whatever you got to do to get the shotgun. It'll freak people out. It'll keep people out of your house. It'll protect you when someone climbs through the window. Knives are amazing things too, man. No ammunition. The stupidest person in the world can run a knife really, really well through your spleen. Maybe that's what you got to do in the meantime. Don't get yourself in trouble breaking a bunch of rules, but let's change the rules so you don't have to break any laws to protect yourself. This is your inalienable right, your common law right to be alive and defend yourself. I think that's all I got for you. If you made it this far, you are a patron of truth. Let's put it that way. Not that everything I said was dead on. I try to be as truthful as I possibly can. This is one that I think is very, very important. If you can, if you're on the tippy, if you're on the precipice of buying a weapon and you're in America, go get it. Do what you can. It'll hurt, obviously, buying. It's like buying a television. You know, you're like, God, I can't believe I spent that much money on it. But every day that goes by that there's a sound in the middle of the night or the government gets a little bit out of control, you feel a little bit better. At least you have some option available to you, right? The international symbol for was it the balance of law, right? The rule of law is you know, the little weight scale, right? And it's this balance between criminal activities and the laws that keep society in balance. And I would say that there should be an equal symbol that means the citizens are going to balance out their government. You know? And the nice thing is everybody wants peace, you know? There's, you know, as long as the government doesn't want to, as long as the government doesn't capitulate down to corporations and bankers, then we shouldn't want war at the tippy top of our governmental pyramids. And so there's no revolution, from getting a gun. I mean, there's no resistance that anyone needs to worry about as long as you want peace. But the second that the governments want to us to shovel our children into their banking cartel agendas to take over the Middle East and hand all that control over to the bankers, as long as that's the way we live every single day of the year, then us having weapons is a way to protect ourselves against the backlash of what they do. You know, what if they got out of control and gave away all of our jobs? I mean, all of them. And you're sitting at home with no means to feed your family. You're super talented. You're super willing to work, but you're panhandling to put bread on the table. And so you're panhandling, and most of the citizens are out panhandling, selling pencils and apples, like the Depression. Sounds to me like it'd be better for us to be a civilization that could change that than to be a civilization that can't, because there's Boston Dynamic robots walking around London, you know, sold from America to, you know, to England to police their people. It's an extreme example, but really, how far are we away from that happening? We're really just a couple pieces of AI away and a couple power supplies away from these robots walking around our cities. You know, they'll write traffic tickets at first, right? You parked your car in the wrong place and they'll be scanning your plate and mailing it to you at home, right? And once you get acclimated to that control, it just goes to the next level. In 10 years, you're going to buy your food from kiosks and robots. Robots are going to make your food. They're going to take your order. They're going to make it. They're going to send it, you know, give it to you. And that's just locked in the history books if we don't make changes. And hell, maybe that one's okay. Maybe the Big Mac will taste better once a robot makes it, right? Sure, they won't have a bunch of swine flu all over your food, because there won't be any germs in the back room. Maybe a little bit of lubricant, a little bit of hydraulic fluid on your food. But we really need to think this through. It's not too late to get your rights back. And if there's any one moment in the history of the EU where gun rights should be contested and brought back, it is right now. And, you know, what I would like to see is this. I'd like to see every country in the world that's lost their gun rights to get them back completely and utterly, right? And then if America has a problem, you guys can come save us. You can say, hey, look at what just happened. They're raiding neighborhoods in America trying to get rid of guns. And we just got ours back. Let's send some boats over. Or at least just send some emails over to say, this is what's going to happen if you don't knock it off. Leave your citizens alone. You know? It's an extreme case, but let's just avoid all this extreme stuff by reinforcing freedom. MKUltraRadio.com for all the feeds, YouTube, podcast stuff. Again, you can get it through your Android just by typing in our URL straight into the podcast software. I think Kyle and I might record today. I'm trying to see if he's actually going to make it down today. But if not, we'll try to hit it tomorrow. It's going to rain for a split second today at noon, but I've got a garage we can set up in and record, so nothing gets stopped. So anyway, hopefully it shows back on real soon. Anyway, if you made it this far, thanks for listening. As always, learn the rules that rule you. Take care of yourself and arm yourself, and I'll see you in the next Deep Thoughts. Over now. Don't you cry no more.